numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, in the hizzy at Circa. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing wonderfully. Good show, Dr. Bob. What Dr. Bob could not finish yesterday, Dr. Bob will today on
That's
the show.
Right.
We barely got started with him yesterday.
We shortchanged him. I always forget.
That was our fault.
Yeah, it was. I always forget how much great stuff he has this time of year.
Yeah. He's got a lot to say. Let's put it that
right,
way.
Yeah.
And I should have anticipated that. So Dr. Bob will join us, talk college basketball conference trends and to which those teams apply or to which those trends apply to which specific teams those trends apply today. Paul Carr will talk soccer with us. Paul just chilling in spring training with his True Media Network's analytics thing that he does. This Champions League stuff is sort of the secondary life of his. But he will discuss his picks here today. Will Hill with all his college basketball conference plays. Almost got there last week with Queens. Not quite. See if he's got a long shot here in any of the conferences today. Plus, I want to ask random college basketball questions that might not have anything to do with betting. I went to the West Coast Conference tournament semis at the majestic Orleans Arena yesterday, courtesy of the great Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, Jeffrey Parlay in the house as well. And Parles and I got to talking about just random college basketball stuff. So I want to get Will's opinion on for the random friend that you have who just shows up for March Madness. Mm. We all have them, right? But now, particularly with the transfer portal and NIL, what is the most recognizable college basketball team in the country to that person?
Ooh, great question.
That was one of them, just to give you an idea of what the kind of thing I'm talking about. Drew Dinsick, of course, joining us on Thursday. But I'm noticing 15 minutes later than normal. What's going on with Drew that he's moving it back?
He's got work to do. He's got work to do, yeah.
In the seismology world?
No, I think in the broadcasting world.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, he mentioned on the Indian Wells podcast, which I did with both he and Zach, that there are bigger things to come for Drew Dinsick.
There we go.
Yeah, maybe he'll spill them out here on the show. Kelly's got some stuff to say about NBA awards as well. But we got to start with, and I'll have a tennis picks. I'll have two tennis picks. We went 1-1 yesterday. Daria Kasatkina up a set, gacked it. So we lose 0.4 of a unit yesterday. Dimitrov did get it done late night. Great match. So we'll have tennis picks.
Grigor.
Tennis picks coming up. Football, though. The free agency carousel. My goodness. And it strikes me that we are right now in this moment living what we talk about here on a numbers game so often through the years, which is, you know, again, you can only win a Super Bowl with a Hall of Fame quarterback or a quarterback that is overperforming on a rookie deal. And the window to win Super Bowls, oftentimes, unless you have a generational exception like Patrick Mahomes, the window is small, typically. And we are seeing in real time, you know, both ends of the spectrum and everything in between, quite frankly. And what I'm referring to, obviously, first of all, is the short window of the San Francisco 49ers, who got to two Super Bowls in this era. Obviously, I'm not talking about the Montana Young years, but in this era, one with Garoppolo, one with Brock Purdy. And it's over, Kelly. The window is shut. We knew going into last year that the window was going to be either this year and maybe next year. Because they had contracts coming up, but this is the very swift ending of an era that had so much promise, but ultimately, I don't think it's going to produce any Super Bowl titles. I think we could say that now. Yesterday, perhaps the most symbolic of all of them, beyond just stats, Kyle Juszczyk, let go.
Yeah.
The heart and soul of that team in so many ways. Juszczyk released, and that on the heels of the Niners obviously trading Debo to Washington, Debo Samuel. And then yesterday, Charvarius Ward gets signed by the Colts, which is a great pickup by the Indianapolis Colts. And then a couple of injured players on defense that were once great. Dre Greenlaw ends up in Denver. Dre Greenlaw, who ruptured his Achilles famously in the Super Bowl. And Talanoa Ufanga, who at one point looked like the second coming of Troy Polamalu. Maybe he gets back there. But he's a guy who tore his ACL, tore ligaments in his wrists, of all things, as well. He ends up, both of those guys, Greenlaw and Hufanga both get signed by the Denver Broncos. Denver hoping that they can add to their already great defense, third best in terms of points allowed last year, obviously with the player of the year in Patrick Surtain. They're hoping that those guys can return to some form of glory. But that's the Niners, and you think about, they know that the Brock Purdy extension is coming up, so they have to plan for that as well. But the biggest thing is, and I'll say this, and this gets to the next part of this, which is the biggest thing they lost was Adam Peters to me. And while John Lynch is their GM, Adam Peters, what he has done in Washington, this is beyond, again, the Jaden Daniels pick at number two, which, again, Kelly, you and I not only could have picked, but talked about picking, right, as so many people did. Anybody could have picked that out of a magazine if you just picked up a draft magazine. Mm. But it's everybody else, right? And what did they do yesterday? What did Washington do yesterday on the heels of the Debo trade? Which, again, you can, and here's my point, you can quibble, you can argue, reasonable minds can disagree if Debo will ever return to his past glory of 2021. But when you have a quarterback, this is the Niners 2 years ago, right? Or 3 years ago, all the promise of a guy overperforming on a rookie deal. Washington goes ahead yesterday and makes a big trade for Laremy Tunsil, offensive tackle of the formerly of the Houston Texans. What Houston is doing, letting Laremy Tunsil go on an already bad offensive line, I have no idea. Their best player on their offensive line. Washington gets Tunsil and a fourth rounder next year for a third next year, a seventh next year, and then a second and fourth in 2026. So not a negligible sum to give up for Tunsil, but they're going for it because this is what you do when your window is there. You go for it, and you got the cap space, and you have Jaden Daniels as your anchor. Tunsil, if you want some advanced stats, because we don't usually talk about offensive linemen advanced stats, but this comes to us from our buddy Seth Walder over at ESPN. 93% pass block win rate, 10th best in the NFL. 75% run block win rate, 39th best. He also led the entire NFL in penalties, regardless of position, with only 19.
Yeah.
And Walder had him when he did his MVP story, 100 best players in the NFL. He had Tunsil 72nd. Tunsil is consistent. It's not just a one-year thing. 92% or 93% pass block win rate in each of the last three seasons over 48 regular season games. And then Washington goes ahead, former Niner, and through the Jets, obviously, for one season, Javon Kinlaw, who, yes, they're hoping that they get some modicum of his past glory. 3 years, $45 million, probably overpaid with $30 million guaranteed. But with the Jets, while he only had 4.5 sacks, along with a 10% pass rush win rate at defensive tackle, that's actually that pass rush win rate is 15th best in the NFL, slightly above average, 35% run stop, 19th best, slightly below average. Both were career highs, though, for Kinlaw. So it depends how you look at it. Anyway, you have one team in the Niners that the window is shutting, and you wonder, how can their odds still be as short as they are? And the other is Washington, which is like, they've got Philadelphia in their minds with everything they do. Oh, you got a good defensive line? Here's Laremy Tunsil. You want somebody who'll stick up, you know, who'll stand up to them in a postseason? Here's Debo Samuel. And so along with Davante Adams going to the Rams, the other sort of, contender, the next sort of closest team to the Eagles in a game of red light, green light, that's the big news in the NFC to me, what the Rams and Washington have done to try to close the gap with the Philadelphia Eagles. And then there's everything in between. First of all, have you seen the Kinlaw? The Tunsil. Was it the Tunsil tweet was the first one?
Yeah.
This comes to us. This is about Houston giving up on Laremy Tunsil, which is from Ian Hartitz, who says, been saying all offseason, CJ Stroud needs a worse offensive line in order to rebound in 2025. And then what I was talking about with every team in between, right? The teams that are going for it, the teams whose windows are shutting. And then there's guys who are just moving, everything else we talk about. So Sam Darnold does end up with the Seahawks, as we speculated. Geno before that, of course, going to the Raiders with Pete Carroll. Okay, to both of them. Like, I still don't know what Seattle's doing. Like, I don't. I get it, what you were saying yesterday. They just don't figure they can win a Super Bowl, so they're blowing it up. Okay. DK goes to the Steelers. I love the combination of Pickens and Metcalf, though you could say they both are kind of the same receiver with the same roots, and they also don't have a quarterback yet. Is it going to be Aaron Rodgers? Is it not? Is he the right guy? And there's just other like little things that happened where like, the Saints signed Chase Young to a big 3-year deal. I'm like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Why would you spend that money on Chase Young just to continue to be mediocre.
Yeah, like sounds like they're running a lot of it back.
What are you doing? And then there's you know, the Cowboys. This is a stat. I didn't know this stat. Connor NFL draft, Connor Livesay. The Cowboys have not signed a free agent over $6 million per year. They've not signed one in free agency since Greg Hardy in 2015.
UFC legend.
And the salary cap over that time period has increased over $135 million since then. There was also one other trade, and this again, just reactions to free agency yesterday, that symbolized great franchises and bad franchises. And this is a trade that will not go noticed by many. But did you see that the Eagles and the Browns swapped backup quarterbacks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I did.
This represented everything to me. The Eagles send Kenny Pickett to the Browns for DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. We should probably say his name once in a while, right? For DTR and a fifth. Why are you giving the Eagles a fifth for no reason whatsoever? Why are you doing that? And Howie Roseman is just like, sweet, I'll take your fifth. Mm-hmm. Sure, I'll make that trade. But it's just
take advantage of desperate franchises, right?
Great franchises, bad franchises. Yeah. It just little things like that during free agency are so, you can see it so clearly.
Yeah, there's a few. We might have to continue this talk on the other side, but there are some of these were like the Laremy Tunsil one too. Like, I mean, for your squad, great get.
Yeah.
Is there something we're missing though, Houston? Is there a problem we're unaware of? I mean,
that was a great tweet. You know what I've been saying all offseason? You know what CJ Stroud needs? A worse offensive line.
I mean, that was
line.
One of the biggest storylines of the NFL last year was CJ Stroud taking a step back somehow, and now we're getting rid of good offensive linemen. Okay.
How are the Rams not shorter than the Niners?
Oh, we gotta talk about
in
that.
The West.
I just pulled up those odds.
What are we doing? They not hearing the news? We'll come back. More NFL and NBA awards next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. That's edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beat of the Book. Best listeners in the game. Best every single day. This is from Lance Schaefer. Lance Schaefer, I've been saying since fall, Rodgers will go to the Vikings. He'll do what Favre could not, win a Super Bowl in Minnesota. He is that petty. Plus, it's the best spot with that line and weapons. All right. As we've said on this show, yeah, maybe. Maybe that's the landing spot. What is it down to? Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and the Giants?
I guess so.
And the Giants makes no sense whatsoever. This is from Vic. Would have never even considered going to the Burrito Bowl stand at the Orleans Arena last night if it weren't for you, Gil. Let the people know if you have any suggestions for Thomas and Mac for later in the week. I had the Burrito Bowl last night at the Orleans. You know what? Not as good as I remember it. Not as good as I remember it.
Thomas is back. No real standouts for me. Wyatt Tomchek might have to text me if there's something I'm missing.
Thomas and Mac, yeah.
Yeah. You don't have a go-to spot there, do you?
No, I do not.
Yeah, neither.
Natron Betts, I retweeted a Matt Grissom college baseball tweet this morning from exactly a month ago. Love when you talk college baseball. Also added Florida State 18-1 off of Grissom's power rankings. Remember, Grissom gave out Virginia, Clemson, and Arkansas for teams to make the College World Series and to win it. Those teams with a combined record of, 39-7 out of the chute. Trip Tepper, Grissom, total boss on college baseball capping, thrilled the numbers game is giving that sport some shine. That being said, college baseball bullpens embody the classic Nick Bogdanovich line, you need whiskey and a revolver to bet baseball.
Such a good line.
See Spackler, just because multiple NBA bettors and journalists think you, oh no, that's a different one. He says Giannis has a calf strain and he only has two MVPs. He's my new front runner for this year's most goodest player award. He's still talking about the Jokic thing is bothering
him. Hey, I can always get on board with Giannis being the most goodest player, okay?
DJ and Southern Gent, because Wes and I were talking about Dwayne Wiggins for Tony yesterday, says, didn't get to share yesterday, but I moved to Oakland in 2016 for work. First place I lived was with a couple I found on Craigslist seeking a roommate. Weird, I know, but Gil knows. Tough finding affordable housing in the Bay. Yes, I do. The couple frequented Jack London Square and over the years made friends with Dwayne Wiggins, had the pleasure of hanging out with him several times, and even got to hear him perform his number one hit, Diary, which he wrote for Alicia Keys. He was always always humble, gracious, and a giving human being. Sorry for the long tweet, but wanted to make sure to give flowers to a man who was so kind to me and so many others and whose impact on music is criminally underrated. Completely agree. I had met him a few times myself. I was not close with him, but I have friends who are extremely close with him. Always a gentleman. We'll get to more tweets. Oh, one more tweet. Brian Schaefer. I like the moves that the Commanders are doing. The only one I don't like is Debo. Deami Brown, better than Debo. I would have kept him. Deami goes to the Jaguars, by the way.
Most important thing I've got to say about Thomas and Mac, real quick, is just if the Golden Tee game still exists there post-NBA Summer League, I got the high score, so come after my high score.
Oh, okay? Get out.
Watch out.
Kelly Billen, everybody. Drew Densick joins us. Not on a ski slope today. He is back in Long Beach in the LBC, co-host of both the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast at NBC Sports. How you doing, Drew?
I could not be better. It's great to see you guys. It's great to be home. And yeah, it's a hell of a week for sports. You got a lot of great action in Indian Wells right now. I'm excited to hear what you have to say about the goings on in the desert.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm rested. I'm refreshed. Although it was a very physically demanding trip. Anyone who hasn't been to Jackson Hole, it's the most difficult ski resort in North America, surely, if not the world. Got about 100,000 vertical feet in over 4 days. Probably as good as I'll ever do in life.
Good for you, man. Good for you. And there's not a slope you won't go down, you were saying. You are fearless.
Well, there was one. Corby's Kula is this like very narrow, very scary 20-foot drop in that I looked at and I said, best of luck to anyone who takes this on. Otherwise, the rest of the mountain was mine.
Indian Wells, my reaction, I'm curious yours too. My reaction is, first of all, I had four disaster days to start the tournament in terms of betting matches. So that has been that was obviously not what I was looking for. The courts ended up being as pretty much as slow as they always were with the new surface. Players are sort of corroborating that generally. Some might say it's a tick faster. The balls may bounce a tick lower. But it's been an interesting tournament because there were massive upsets early, too massive to really predict. And then the upset range that I usually succeed on, none of those really came home, right?
Yeah.
So it was interesting in that regard. And yet, here we are now in the round of 16. All of my futures are still alive. All of them. So with the exception of Osaka, but I had Pagula in that one quarter to make up for that. So they're all, I mean, one of them had to lose anyway. So they're all ready to, you know, at least two rounds. That's a long way to go still. But they're all there. You, sir, you kind of didn't dabble as much as I thought you would.
No, I got Alcaraz to chip in the men's. I didn't really see any reason to go anything more sophisticated than that. And I feel very strongly about that he will be the champion on the men's side. And then on the women's side, I'm doing my rollover with Miss Belinda Bencic. That's up to it's not a very big number, actually. I think I'm at plus 237. The big one's coming in here against Goff. If she can get Goff, then her quarter price rollover is going to be, and she gets Goff and then probably Keys. So she's going to be probably a 4-1 dog against Keys at least. So if she, can win these next two matches, that rollover is going to be, you know, kind of in the, I would say the 3-1, I'm sorry, the 13-14-1 ballpark, which is pretty nice.
Wait, did you say you thought Belinda Bencic would be a 4-1 dog against Keys?
I would guess, yeah.
Oh, come on.
The way Keys is being priced right now? Yeah.
4-1?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you see the price on Bencic against Goff? I'm into that, by the way. Yeah. Goff is fine, but not worth, you know. You're giving me Bencic at plus 220?
I haven't gotten to tomorrow yet. By the way, do we have my two picks for today? This would be a good time to throw in my two tennis picks today. By the way, I'm behind. I do not have CLV in either of these. You can get a better price than I could on either of these. Mira Andreeva, I took it minus 115 versus Elena Rybakina. Andreeva's a little lower in the minus money now. And we'll go to it again because we had him against Francis Tiafoe at plus 193 as a winner. And the announcers acted like it was the largest upset that has ever occurred on planet Earth. This is the difference between bettors and actual announcers. I'm watching. I'm like, no, I predicted this, right? And they're like, this is the most amazing thing that's ever happened. I'm like, he's plus 193. Relax. He's plus one. I got him at plus 170 against Talon Griekspoor. He's around plus 180 now. So you can get him at a better number. Watanuki coming as a quali. And I believe, was he a lucky loser or did he qualify? I can't remember now.
He qualified.
Yeah. So Watanuki coming as a quali. So it's Andreeva and Watanuki for me. You have anything today?
I agree with you on Andreeva. I took her money line. I took over 22 and a half games. I took over 2.5 sets and I took correct score, Andreeva 2-1. Of those, if you said you could only have one, it would be over 2.5 sets at plus 127. I think that should be closer to pick.
Okay, so Andreeva in a 3-setter for Drew. Is that the only thing you had today?
I've laid the games with Pegula, too. I agree with you. I think she's in really good form, and I like her head-to-head, you know, kind of the, and, you know, a lot of the head-to-head you got to toss because it was when Pegula was kind of rising up through the ranks to become a top 10 player, whereas Svitolina was coming back from maternity leave. And so some of those are a little bit shaded, but I do think that the recent data kind of would tell you that playing on a hard court, this has got to be a bigger price for Pegula. I would have made her about minus 220, minus 215. I laid the 3.5 games.
Yeah, I'm peeking at Benchus's number for tomorrow. Benchus is only a plus 114 dog against Goff. Did you indicate that it was more than that? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I bet that 2-1, man.
Number than that. Yeah, I was, you know what? I'm confusing my EU odds and my US odds. She was 2.24.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was wondering. I'm like, what in the world?
My bad.
I want to shop at your sports book. My God. I was like, what are they talking about?
It is a wild price though, because they played in Australia and Bencic was almost 3-1 in that match. Of course, Goff won. So we'll see if she can get some revenge tomorrow. But
Coco has had some janky performances in this tournament too, though.
Oh man, her double faults show in the first match she played. I have no idea how she won that. That was actually, I want to say, I don't know if I can say this with high confidence, but I'd say it with medium confidence. I think that's the worst tennis match I've seen all season.
I think that's pretty good confidence. I think you're right. By the way, do you ever go to Indian Wells, Drew?
I haven't been. I mean, I've been to the desert 50 million right. times, but never to the actual tournament. No.
Dude, what are you? I don't know what you're doing. You got to go.
It's ski season, man.
This
is the golden window for skiing because the kids are back in school. The spring break hasn't started. I always end up skiing beginning of half of March and then March Madness second half of March and never make it to Indian Wells. But one day I will.
I forgot who I was talking to, Drew. You got life beat. You got life figured out. You got life beat.
Tough life, but someone's got to do it, Gil.
More with Drew on the other side. We will get his thoughts on NBA Clutch Award and any NBA Clutch Player Award and any other award that he may have a thought or two on when he's playing in the NBA. Drew Dinsick, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. On the other side, it's a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to a whole nother level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. GV, New Jersey, New York, who does such a great job with tracking the college basketball formula, which once again we updated yesterday for those who missed it. Still the same three teams all 3 weeks, Duke, Auburn, and Houston. He says, to the question I'm about to ask Will Hill coming up next hour, who's the most recognizable team to a March Madness casual this season? He says it's probably the Houston Cougars. That's what his vote is for. Roster this season versus last season is the same with the exception of no Jamal Sheed, 5 consecutive March Madness runs of Sweet 16 or better, same style of play. I have a different vote, which I'll get to. James Sott talking about that fifth round, DTR and a fifth for Kenny Pickett. He says maybe this was like the Brock Osweiler type trade to take the massive fifth round contract of DTR. They had to include a fifth rounder. Makes sense. I-95 Gambler. As a Pats fan, with all the defensive moves they made yesterday, they have to draft an offensive lineman with the fourth pick, maybe trade back a few slots and pick up more picks and then draft offensive line. Please, not Travis Hunter, he says in all caps. Let's see here. And let's see. Primetime at Primetime_Bets. Went to dinner with some people on Saturday. Two people were talking about the coincidence that they both know Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob, imagine my disappointment when I found out they were talking about a local veterinarian. That is pretty disappointing. Dr. Bob coming on the show. Chris Heath says to Kelly, hate to break it to you, Kelly, but they pulled the golden tee game.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Then my high score will live forever. That's what I'm going to choose to believe.
Joe C714, back at the petting zoo at Indian Wells. Carlito's taking a page out of Rafa's book. He always signs for the fans every single time. Such a class act at his age. And Brian M., what the people need to know, did Drew have a coincidental meeting with Tom Brady while at Jackson Hole? We go back to Drew Dinsett, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, at whale_capper. Did you see Tom Brady up there on the hill?
Much like Matt Stafford, I will not be taking a job with the Las Vegas Raiders this upcoming fall, although it's always good to see Tommy out on the slopes.
Tommy, it's always good to see him out there. Did you do any of these free agent signings trigger a bet for you?
Oh, my gosh. This is such a weak class, man. No way. This is, I guess, the major takeaway is it's hilarious to look at the news in a macro sense and be like, wow, look at all those Jets quarterbacks. They're all there. Yeah. They're all here. Former Jets, current Jets, you name it. They're up and down the whole list of, you know, Geno Smith, Darnold, Fields now added to the mix. Everybody's speculating about Aaron Rodgers. Like, yeah, this is Jack Wilson got signed yesterday. Yeah. It's like, this is a who's who of played quarterback for the Jets is kind of stealing all the, sucking all the air out of the room. I don't think the Raiders or the Seahawks are really contending either way. I didn't think that sort of the immediate outrage over the Seahawks trading Geno Smith was warranted. That was kind of silly. And honestly, I think they got maybe going younger and cheaper with Darnold is fine. I don't think either of those quarterbacks is really good enough to contend in a very crowded NFC now. I will say I was excited about what the Commanders were doing, but the more I've kind of dug in, I'm starting to get a little disappointed that they're not utilizing their opportunity a little bit more effectively. Don't know why we're bringing in, you know, injury question marks and you know, guys like Bobby Wagner, who I think were part of the problem on the defense last year, but that's fine. I guess the most interesting takeaway from any of the free agency stuff is Bears Vikings. Both of those teams, I think, have done a really nice job of doubling down in building the trenches. And I guess if you get your teeth kicked in by the Detroit Lions twice in one season, and you know you have to go through them in the division, that's why you do that. And I just kind of give those two front offices some acknowledgement for tacking in that direction, as you know, both all the big bodies that those guys are getting on the offensive and defensive lines can play. So NFC North is going to absolutely rock next year.
One move just coming down a few minutes ago. Eagles will be trading CJ Gardner-Johnson to the Texans.
Yeah, they had a little issue with CJ Gardner-Johnson, right, in the locker room as well.
He's a flamboyant character.
To the NBA, Clutch Player of the Year. Your thoughts? Kelly had a thought. What is yours?
Well, I was watching last week when Brunson went down, and when it happened, he had scored all 8 points for the Knicks in overtime at that point. And you're like, okay, it's over. Seal the deal. This is the performance that basically ends this market. I don't know if you've been kind of following the prices across the NBA awards. It's a fun little horse race throughout the season. Not a lot of drama right now, but the Brunson injury does kind of open up the door for some drama. Because again, if he wins that game, if he just finishes that game, if he is healthy throughout the month of March, I think this thing is a wrap. It is over. It is Brunson. This opens up the door, though. My general read on the Brunson injury situation, it looked like a grade 2+-ish to me, which I kind of ascribe to 3, maybe 4 weeks. And as you kind of look at the calendar, the Knicks have a bunch of important games in April. And Brunson is 10 games away from hitting his 65. And I know that that 65 is not a threshold that matters for Clutch, but it matters for all NBA. And I think with all the other kind of key obvious guys who would get looks for first team all NBA this year, Brunson, to me, has a very credible case to be the fifth. And so my guess is he's probably going to play the 10 games needed to make that, to cross that threshold, which puts him back in play like April 1st, April 3rd, something like that. And he's going to have some opportunity to accrue some stats in that time window. Now, whether or not they're clutch stats, anyone knows. This is the absolute most ridiculous time of the basketball calendar in terms of effort. That said, I think his case is not closed. The scary player in the mix is certainly Trae Young. No question. Trae Young right now has a 5-point lead in the clutch. And Gil, if you're wondering, how do you handicap clutch? Most clutch player in the NBA. It is a very straightforward way. You click on nba.com/stats/players/clutch.trends traditional per mode equals total. And that just gives you the list of most points scored in the clutch that the NBA is tallying. And that's what everybody who votes on this award goes and looks at. And right now, Trae Young has a 5-point lead over Jalen Brunson. Trae Young's, the dings in his case, he's barely over 500 in games played in the clutch. He's played the most minutes in the clutch. So the fact that he has the most points isn't that shocking. And his shooting in the clutch has been actually pretty poor. Like, he's shooting 37% from the field, which is real, real rough. Brunson, on the other hand, is shooting 52% from the field. Brunson also has one of the most absurd usages in the clutch that I've ever seen in my life. Every time that the Knicks games are close, it is just the Jalen Brunson show. I think people who dig in will probably still lean Brunson. But the Hawks are not a very good team, and they're going to be scuffling with the bad teams. They have an easy schedule remaining. They're going to get enough wins. They're probably going to win the Southeast, which is going to hurt. Their opportunity for them to accumulate more clutch counting stats is very, very real. So I think as long as Trae Young stays healthy, he is a very scary player in this market. Right now, I would make it 50-50 between Brunson and Young. We'll say 45-45, and we'll carve out a 10% slice for Jokic just because, there is a pretty good statistical profile for him there. And he was the heavy favorite in this market at one point.
Give the URL again, because if you go to nba.com/stats/players/clutch-traditional, I don't get the list that I'm looking for.
Well, NBA makes the NBA. I'll send you the link. It's clutch-traditional ? Per mode equals total.
Oh, there's more.
DIR equals A, and sort equals points. And that just lists the clutch, the regular season total clutch points for every player. And
is there better radio than a long URL?
Oh, that's great. Hey, Drew, it's been a couple weeks since we've talked to you. Are you a part of the people out there that were betting Dyson Daniels most improved player over and over again, I guess, last week?
I was not, but I saw that and I had a good belly laugh. I think, again, I don't think there's much drama in here, and I also don't think you win bets for getting 2 second places with Dyson Daniels. Sorry, guys.
Is there drama in any of these awards at this point?
I mean, it's clutch. That's kind of the clutch, only thing. Clutch is if you like drama, it's for real, because Jokic went close to 2 months barely having any clutch minutes, just because the Nuggets were either winning by so much or just not competitive that he accumulated nothing. And so you're kind of at the whim of game state, which is fun.
Any plays tonight?
I think the Bucks take care of the Pacers. The Pacers' defense right now is in absolute shambles, and I'll lay the 2.5.
Okay. There you go. Drew Dinsick off the ski slopes and back on level land. Good to see you, man. Drew Dinsick at @whale_capper. Thanks for the Indian Wells pod. Again, deep dive and bet the edge, and maybe in the future more from Drew, which we'll talk to him about next time as well. Will Hill on the other side. College Hoops, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. What's happening to my voice? It's a numbers game right here at Circa. Sorry about that, guys.
It's a numbers game.
It is. We have a move in the NFL.
We do. Daniel Jones to the Colts. And to answer your question that you had during the break, apparently Joe Flacco is still on the roster. So
Joe Flacco, Sam Ehlinger, and now Daniel Jones to compete with Anthony Richardson. Daniel Jones, Colt.
I mean, it makes sense if you're going to run, if you're gonna, whatever offense you're going to run for Anthony Richardson. We saw Daniel Jones get used far more in the running game last year for the Giants. Not to say that's exactly what you should be doing with Daniel Jones, but at least you don't have to change the plays up a ton between the two.
Cut to a shot of Daniel Jones playing meaningful playoff potential contention games late in the season. Eduardo, we get tweets of being the book. H-Town 88. Texans with another O-line trade. Extreme culture change in that O-line room. Doesn't matter how much you get paid or where you were drafted. Green was a first-round pick. I think he's talking about Kenyon Green.
Mm.
Rich PSM. 100% agree with you, Gil, yesterday when you said this. I will never be used to Maryland in the Big Ten. Their ACC basketball history includes the 1974 Maryland-NC State ACC Championship. In my opinion, the greatest game ever. And Maryland was the greatest team to not make the field due to the ridiculous small field size. People forget. I'm a little too young for 74. But people don't understand. Like, growing up in the D.C. area in the 80s, college basketball, nothing was bigger than college basketball. We used to go over to like our friends' houses to watch Duke Carolina, or if Maryland, like if Albert King and Buck Williams were playing Virginia.
Yeah.
Like it was such a big
Georgetown hoops.
And then the Big East, Georgetown. So it was the middle of Big East and ACC country. It was just unbelievable. And yeah, Maryland's in the Big Ten, and it just it blows our mind. James Sott, I compared that Coco Gauff match Drew was talking about to my non-tennis friends, so I was watching Titans-Browns with Levi's, Billy Levi's at DTR at quarterback. It was so hard to watch. And then Justin D telling me, not sure about Circa, but DraftKings has the most April wins market up already.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I got work to do. I love that market. I didn't see, yeah, I don't see it anywhere in Vegas. I looked. No Circa, no William Hill. Nothing.
Man, this is... Yeah, they added... Wow, they added a lot. They added a lot. Start of season, race to 10 wins, 5-0 start.
Yeah.
A team last to lose. Let's see, there are April win totals.
That's what we're talking about here. Oh, April win totals.
Win totals, I believe, is what I'm looking at.
Oh, not most wins?
No, there's like groups of teams to hit 15, 20 game, 20 win. There's a ton of options.
A numbers game where we give out really long URLs and Kelly scrolls through DraftKings menu.
No, I was right. I finally got to. There are win totals for April for every team list.
Also, Sean Fox plays. The problem with Clutch Award in the NBA is there is prevailing thought that this will be a de facto second place MVP award, similar to what Most Outstanding Player just is in the NBA non-quarterback award. Jokic didn't win MVP, so maybe he'll be given Clutch. No defense, I think he says, and voters clueless. I'm trying to have navigating through his tweet. Anyway, that's an interesting point, that clutch plays could be the offensive player award equivalent of the NFL, offensive player of the year award, sort of depository. If you don't win MVP, here's your award.
Yeah, it could be a little bit. I mean, they usually hang on those clutch stats a fair amount, but if there's a tiebreaker, right, you could see it going that way.
Will Hill joins us. He's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. That's his podcast, and he also stars of the Megapod. The March Madness edition will drop this coming Monday, where, of course, he famously called FAU to the Final Four a couple years back. And he's part of Chris Felica's Bear Bets Empire over there at Fox Sports. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive guest line, at not the, with two E's, at not the Will Hill. How you doing, man?
Gilly, what's going on? I'm great. The best betting week of the year. We are about an hour or so away from games starting. And once they start, they never end. I was up deep into the night, late night, watching them. So I love this week. The next like 10, 12 days is just nonstop basketball. You get a little breather. Then you get the NCAA tournament starting here. So it's so good. I'm a little jealous because I'm not in Vegas and you, Fez, Wishnev, you guys are hanging out. You're playing tennis. You're having sleepover parties. I wish I was there, but this is the best.
Sleepover? Really? I didn't get invited to sleepover. Do you see the thing with that? You know the Chappelle thing where like Chappelle did this bit where his friends were like, you didn't go to the Diddy freak-offs? He was like, no. And they were like, yeah, sure. And then he was like, and then it dawned on me, I'm ugly. I must be ugly. It's not quite the same thing, but anyway, triggered in my head. All right, Will, what golf course are you playing on today, by the way? That's a beautiful outfit. What are you doing? What's going on?
That's funny. It's a good one. Look, I kind of rotate the V-sing gear. I want to throw a little collared shirt on and, I don't know, mix it up a little. By the way, breaking news, Jim Sorgi re-signs with the Colts. Throw him in that quarterback competition with Daniel Jones and with boy, that's a group right there. Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, and whoever else they got.
Jeez. Scott Tolzien. Scott Tolzien is next. Okay, before we get to your bets here in college hoops with conference tournaments that are that have yet to start here and anything you might have in individual games tonight, because there's a bunch of games with some of the conferences starting and others finishing and sort of semis as well in other conference tournaments. I was sitting with Parlay and Chrissy yesterday at the Orleans. We're watching the West Coast Conference Championship, and Parlay and I got into this side conversation where I just sort of started thinking of stuff as we're watching these games because they were blowouts. And one of them was, I think of my friend Tommy in D.C. He's my oldest. He's my longest friend. He's a casual college basketball fan. He represents the community of college basketball fans, in quotes, that shows up for March Madness. They don't know anything else. What is the most familiar team? This is a non-betting question. The most familiar team to the casual fan who just shows up, especially in this era of transfer portal?
The most familiar team in terms of like guys you can name on current rosters?
More, the most players you can name in a starting lineup. We had one vote earlier for Houston. Mine was Alabama.
I was going to say that. Yeah. Houston or Bama?
That is a great freaking question. I'll give a weird one. I'll say UConn just because I think it's like, by the way, a 30-way tie between, you know, 30 teams of guys that can name one guy on each team.
Yes.
Just because Caravan was on the team last year and we've seen them in the Final Four in the championship. That's so if you're watching March Madness, you've seen Caravan win two titles in a row and maybe you can name one other guy. But other than that, I mean, we watch this stuff all day and night and we know trends of these teams and how they play and their style, but we can't even us is watching nonstop. I mean,
I was just talking to Dave, like
two or three guys, it's really, really hard.
I was just talking to Dave Ross before the show. I said, we have millions of college basketball bets every day. Do we know rosters at the end of it? Probably not.
So I think the Houston tweet's a great point. When you first brought it up, I thought Bama, but only stylistically. It's not like I could name anybody more.
Oh, but people remember Nelson from last year. They obviously remember Sears. I shouldn't say obviously, but I think they remember Sears, right? I just think the point of the question is, good God, like if you're just showing up, these teams, I just compared it to like growing up in the 80s where, you know, Ewing's playing Jordan and Olajuwon and all that. Obviously, that's an era gone by. It's just so different now.
That Dream Team documentary I recommended to you, and I think on a numbers game a couple weeks ago, it made you realize that it's the We Beat the Dream Team documentary. It's Mashburn, it's Penny Hardaway, it's Bobby Hardaway. It makes you realize, man, those guys were stars. Absolute like megastars before they ever stepped into the league.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to it. Any game plays today? Let's start with that.
I actually like the one that tips at 9:30 your time. Oak State and the under. I kind of like both of them, and I think that's sort of a correlated parlay because if Oak State covers the 7.5, that's probably going to cover because it's a close game, and the closer the game, the less likely for fouls. I just think Oak State has played better. They're good on defense. They are not good on offense. These teams actually just played on Saturday. Oklahoma State shot 78% from three. I think 7 of 9 from three. So you can throw that out. They are not a good offensive team. I just think this is a close, ugly, low-scoring game. So I will take the points. I'm surprised. This opened 6 and it's gone the other way. I thought even the 6 was maybe a touch too high. So maybe I'm just completely missing things with this Oak State team. But I think this is a close, kind of a grinded out game. So I like Oak State plus 7.5, and I do like the under as well. And first half under 65.5. Again, this is an early tip time. Nobody in the building, no energy in the building. We kind of make fun of Fez because he loves these tip time trends.
Loves
it. They tend to work out more than they don't, I have to admit.
Yeah, that kid knows something. Anything else in terms of individual games today?
No.
Okay.
I'm not opposed. Again, another Fez trend. I'm not opposed to the title game unders. I think those aren't bad. I mean, the Furman Wofford one was an outlier. The shot making in that game was just incredible. I mean, there was like I was on the under at halftime because they were just shooting the ball so well. And I jumped in live on the under again late. Some of the shot making for like an 8-10 minute stretch was insane in that game. And I actually had Furman plus 750 to win that tournament. So I'm a little bitter they let that get away. But for the most part, these title game unders are decent looks, but and the as much as we're excited about these games, the games themselves are not that great today. But it's just the volume of games is so exciting.
And tomorrow the volume gets ratcheted up even further. By the way, 4 championship games today: Horizon, Northeast, West Coast Conference, obviously Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and then our favorite, the Colonial, with Delaware, the Blue Hens of Delaware, 12-19 before the tournament, and now trying to steal a bid as they play UNC Wilmington today. All right,
I didn't listen to the first hour of the show because I was doing my pod. I don't know if you mentioned this. These teams played 10 days ago. UNC Wilmington won by 30. It was the 11th loss in 12 games for Delaware, and now they rematched the title game.
Let's go.
Of course I mentioned that, Will.
Yeah,
Kelly. You think I would have gotten past me? Come
Kelly
on,
was
man.
All over. Jeez. Conference tournament plays, outrights. What you got?
We're running out of time here. I'll throw a bomb out there. First of all, I like Texas Tech plus 425. I think they match up well with Houston. I think that's a really good team. I think the list of teams that could win it all is very short. It's like four. And then you start to get to like the Texas Tech, Iowa State. Texas Tech is a team that to me is on the fringe, but one at Houston without one of their best players, who got ejected early, and almost one without a couple starters a couple Mondays ago. Rutgers at 200-1 to win the Big Ten. They're probably not going to win. They're 200-1 for a reason, 5 wins in 5 days. But they do have 2 lottery picks. They start with a USC team they just beat a week or so ago. And then the path after that is Purdue and Michigan. Michigan beat them twice by 4 points, one on a buzzer beater. Could they look up with their NBA talent and get to a semifinal, a quarterfinal? And you probably have to get to a semi to be able to hedge. But I thought Rutgers at 200-1, if you're just looking to throw pizza money on a real long shot, I thought that one was interesting.
Oh, let's go.
Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper. Oh, by the way, as you're going out, 5-second answer. One of the other things, I was spitballing with parlay. Is there a Steph Curry / Ja Morant mid-major-ish kind of player in this tournament coming up in March Madness, referring to?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we didn't come up with anybody either. Will Hill, everybody, at Not The Will Hill. March Madness Megapod on Monday. Thank you, Will.